for the second last time. Hello there. Welcome. Hello, everyone on KO. Thank you for watching. Everyone on the traditional podcast, thank you for listening. I've had a full night's sleep, Joel Kane and Sean Ormerod, so I'm dangerous. Good morning to you as we have just three games. It's a sad time of the year.
Time of the year. We've got the Caulfield Cup, the Everest. We've got the Melbourne Cup looming, Cox Plate, coal miner. This bloke here, you should see him. He's bouncing around. Before the show, he's usually a little bit glum. He's tired, hasn't had much of a sleep, complaining about the lack of sleep.
Yep.
He's pacing up and down. He was ready to start, and boom. How are you, coal miner? By the way, when are we getting you back in person?
Oh, mate, I would be back there within the hour if I could. But Gladys, we know she's got her own issues going on in her private life and her professional life, for that matter. But the borders are still shut, and I'm trying to avoid sitting in a hotel for 2 weeks. So if we can, I know she, maybe her husband or her ex-husband, whoever it was, listens to the show. Can we just have a word to her, please?
I'm pro Gladys. I love Gladys.
We all like Gladys. Yeah. But anyway, that is a decision to be made at another time. The by the way, isn't the US election one of your biggest holds of the year?
Yeah, massive.
Yeah.
Massive.
And I've noticed that Trump kept going out and going out, but now he's come back in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very interesting. People don't want to commit to Biden, I see, he's warm favourite, but not overwhelming favourite.
We have a dedicated Trump hub.
Mm.
So there's heaps of markets there. Like there's a stack of markets.
Woody do an interview on an Australian show, and you know my best mate's Paul Murray, and he's $56 to be on Paul. I said, mate, come on, work on this, get your producer onto this, because he's spoken to Trump before.
Yeah.
Come on,
we can make this happen.
Just make it a 2-minute interview. It doesn't matter.
Have you watched the Comey rule?
Some of it.
It's good.
The guy who plays Trump is outstanding. He's got the mannerisms and the, the hair and all that stuff. It's very. He's an Irishman, isn't he? Dom Gleeson.
I think so. Have you seen it, Cole Miner?
No, but I've heard good things about it. I'll have to maybe in the off season I might get around it.
Yeah, great show. Oh, boys, breaking news! Mm. Breaking news! There's been a relationship that's been rekindled.
Mm.
Myself and the punting gods, we're back. We're back. We're back. I'll tell you what happened.
Because you're talking about glum. Sean, have you ever seen anyone so glum over the last 2 weeks than this bloke? Because he couldn't pick a winner.
Yeah.
And I was
down and out,
wasn't he? Because Newcastle led and then they collapsed and it's all about And I can't pick a winner. Anyway.
Well, yeah, we're arm in arm this week. We're sending each other little direct messages, myself and the punting gods. We are back. And you know what happened? I had a little two-leg multi.
Yes.
Raiders with the start into South Sydney to win between 13 and 18 points.
Ooh.
Now, they were well behind and they just, you know, they can put points on in a hurry.
Yes.
And they scored. They were in the bracket. They were in the 13 to 18 with 15 to go. And I thought, oh, no, they've gone too early.
Yep.
So at that point, I'm then cheering on a Parramatta try because I feel like they've got another try in them. Parramatta get the try. But what was going to unravel all of this, right, because at this stage they led by 8. Parramatta scored the try, then it's led by 2. If Mitchell Moses kicks the goal, it's not good. Because now I've got to get from tied up at 0, basically, scratch, to get me 13 to 18 points. He misses the goal, South score at the other end, and then right on the bell, Cook goes through, scores, and then I'm thinking, please leave Adam Reynolds on the field. Reynolds takes a kick. Ka-ching, and the romance is back, ladies and gentlemen, the punting gods and I.
You've picked, hang on, the defining moment of Parramatta season with Smith Moses hitting the post, and you've somehow turned this into your rekindled love affair with the punting gods. I mean, that's classic AM radio. You're going to go great on SEN 1170. We're making everything about you.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the other thing, Dan, it's not about me, it's about us. The podcast listeners, we've all dived into Buckhurst to win the Caulfield Cup, tipped at 60-1, now $13, and we're also on Anthony Van Dyke for the Melbourne Cup.
Okay.
We don't want Anthony Van Dyke to win the Caulfield Cup because we want it to be slashing home so it doesn't cop the weight penalty for the Melbourne Cup.
Can I just, Shane, our producer, how long has this podcast been going? 5 minutes, 7 minutes? 5 to 7 minutes, right. When am I going to get my respect?
Yeah,
my bracket is still going.
Oh, yes.
6 from 6, and we're talking about Joel's 13 to 18. Mate, how many? Now, Sean, I asked, did we find out, because we put these markets up, and apparently people gobbled them up. Have we got many people on this bracket 6-6 with three games to go.
No, I need to dive into the book and have a look. I forgot to do that during the week. But, yeah, I can't believe you're alive, Dan. So what's that? Yeah, six from six, three games to go. What was it, 50 to 1?
$51. So I need...
Pay it for your loyal listeners.
I'm going to text Benny there on the trading floor and say, can we get the payout if Dan nails the...
I can't imagine. Honestly, it would be very big because I stumbled upon the market and we sort of said it... So we did the podcast on a Wednesday morning and the first game was on a Friday night and it was put up very late and very quickly and we sort of didn't know when we were recording the podcast there was even going to be a market. So I can't imagine there's a huge amount on it. But good luck if you are. So what do we need? We need Penrith and Melbourne to win this week. I've spent my whole week thinking about crushing options because I've had $50 in it, so yeah. $2,500 and I will crush. But I've also got a Penrith. And I remember when we went over there, and I said, oh, that Penrith-Canberra-Quinella at 14 is a bit tasty. So I've had a little bit on that. So I've done all my thinking. There are two options on the sport. This is where you can take sports bet to the cleaners. So, for instance, one of the options was Melbourne-South.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
You are offering $4.25 for the Quinella.
Yes.
But if you put the two together as head-to-head, it's only $4.04. But conversely, you are offering Canberra South at $7.50 for the Quinella. That seems very nice. But when you put the head-to-heads, I think it bumps up to $7.70. So there's different ways, and you've got the power play.
Yes.
So what I'm saying is just do a little shopping on the sports bet site. That's why I brought the whole thing up when you're doing those sorts of bets.
So I've been on this Quinella for some time, Panthers taking on Melbourne, and you rely on them to get on the other sides of the draw, which has happened.
Yeah, that's the hardest part.
Yeah, so I'm in the box seat. So how do you play that? You just let it ride or hopefully get Melbourne through.
I think you let the first game through.
And then back the Bunnies.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, you let the first, that was going to be my... Okay. If I didn't have Penrith-Canberra as a backup Quinella, I was going to let the first game go through, Melbourne-Canberra, see what happens, and then crush on the other side of
gotcha.
That.
Gotcha.
So that's... But it's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun when you start doing your mass and your workout.
It is
fun. That's going to be 600. That's going to be 700.
Okay, boys, I'm going to ask you this question. I believe every single team left has a legitimate case to win this comp. Yes. Are you guys prepared to put a red pen through any team left? I'm not.
No, I'm certainly not. And I think the betting sort of suggests that as well. What are they? There's two $7 shots. They're by far, far and away well in this competition race. And it's funny that the two teams with the week off, they certainly need it. You know, you've got Storm. With an injury cleared over Munster. That week off would have been huge for him, but he's still limping in. And then Penrith, they had it as well, but they were without Kikau. So usually those teams with the week off get the gun run and they're in the box seat, but it's not the case in both games this week. And I think both outsiders, they're up to their ears in it this week.
All right, time to do this. Now I'm going to bookend this, gents, because I've got three. Okay, I got through this week. Okay, so I'll start and I'll finish it off.
You did have a good sleep last night, didn't you?
Yeah. I worked it out. If you put it on notes on your iPhone. So this one I wrote down last week. So last Wednesday, the Australian women's cricket team won their 21st in a row. Wonderful achievement. But the news report that I saw was, and the Australian women's team joined Ricky Ponting's, the greatest Australian cricket winning streak has been equaled 21 in a row. Now, it's wonderful that the Australian women have won 21 in a row, but how dare you compare it to Ricky Ponting's 21 in a row? They're different sports.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry, but Australia beating the pants off New Zealand's women is not the same as Ricky Ponting's men beating, going through a World Cup and winning. Well, all of us, hang on, why is, if the Australian cricket team, if all of a sudden the women's records are equal to the men's records, they're different sports. Okay? They're different sports. All of us, if that's the case, then the greatest tennis player of all time is Margaret Court because she's won 24 slams. Roger and Rafa have only won 20. Okay? Dylan Alcott won his 11th Grand Slam. Do we see the
You're
same
You're not going
as,
back to Dylan
no,
again,
No, I'm saying
you?
He won it. Good, and well done to him. But now, if everything's all equal, is his 11 the same as Rod Laver's 11? You know what I mean? It's... And if you say that the Australian women's cricket team is not the equal of Ricky Ponting's, you're a sexist pig. Mm. They're different sports. Women's cricket is one sport. Men's cricket is another sport. Don't compare the two.
You want to go, Cole Miner?
Yeah, I'll go. And I'm glad Dan brought it up just before we jumped on air here. The if anyone was lucky enough or unlucky enough to see the Everest barrier draw last, so I'm going straight to the top here. Peter Volandis, he's done wonders for rugby league this year, and I can only assume it was so absurd. I can only assume the idea to have it on top of the Westfield Centrepoint Tower, whatever it's called these days. Must have been his idea. It was so absurd.
I've got to defend Volandis on this score. All the news is the Channel 9 news and the Channel 7 news did live crosses at 6 o'clock because it was Centre Point Tower. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I understand the mentality. But, yeah, I was flicking around. And Greg Radley, who, I tell you what, he carried the broadcast. Thank God they had Greg Radley because he is
genius.
A pro. But so they're on Centre Point Tower. And the way it's shot... They had a camera over Radley's head pointing straight down to a desk. It was like, you've got all this beautiful Sydney. You can't see any of it. And these poor old buggers were coming up. They're chained to the walkway protector, and they're shuffling up, and they're hitting a button like it's a game show. And clearly the button has nothing to do with the barrier draw. Someone else is hitting a computer.
Right.
Right, and it's some random number generator. And the first one hits the button, and eventually the thing stops. Radley can't see it. No one on Centrepoint can see it. So whoever gets it gets barrier 7. Right. Radley goes, we can't see it. We've got to do it again. Anyway, they get barrier 1. But then Radley again says, well, we can't see it up here. We're going to have to reset this machine.
No.
This is all going live to air. Centrepoint and the rest of Sydney's out there. You can't see it. You're just watching them, you know, fumble on a desk. Anyway, I watched it for half an hour, so it must have been compelling television.
What, that bad? It was
that's
good, wasn't it?
That's why you know it was Peter Volandis, because I got sucked in and I watched the whole thing. But, yeah, the old blokes, it was like they just grabbed 10 blokes off the Sydney Bridge climb. They were there in there. They were in their overalls, and they said, come on, no, we need you. Two for one. You can go up the Centre Point Tower as well. Hit a big red button. It was a fast, but I enjoyed every minute. It was brilliant.
Anyway, well done everyone involved, because I was just flicking around and I just saw the Trek Everest Trek. I thought I'll have a look at this anyway. So well done.
Okay, me to go.
What do you want me to do? My second one.
No, I'm ready to go.
Okay,
this is to my colleague at SEN, right, Jimmy Smith. Okay. Now, as we mentioned last week, I was in a hurry. We had the promo shoot, had to get out there, and we had a car spot for each of us with our names on the thing. So I'm already late, right? So I'm rushing around. I go through to the car park, and I'm looking for my name, and I can't find my name. There's Voss, there's Matty Johns, there's all these names, Brian Fletcher, etc., and I can't find mine. I'm thinking, okay, well, I'm not a big name like those blokes. They've clearly forgotten my space. So I'm already late, right? And I'm looking around and I can't find a car spot. And I realise that, okay, well, Fletcher's already there, but he's not in his space. So I give the courtesy and I go, Fletch, are you there? He said, mate, I'm already here. I said, can I take your car spot? He said, yeah, mate, I've parked on the street. Take it. Right. So as I've done that, I'm walking to the elevator and I see my name. My name with a car in front of it.
Yes.
And I recognise the car.
Yes.
And the car is James Francis Critchley Smith, Jimmy Smith, who's just parked in my spot. Now, I had the kindness and the care to ring Brian to say, could I please have your spot if you're not using it? Whereas James Francis Critchley Smith, he just, nah, that's Joel's spot. I'm going to take that spot and go upstairs with no regard, no call, whatever else, playing rude. I hate that behaviour. And also a special shout out too, by the way, I was leaving the entertainment quarter, right? And as you know, it's a logjam after the Raiders-Roosters game.
Keep talking, Joel, because I'm going to hammer you as soon as you're done here.
It's a logjam, right? So as you need to be able to get out of your spot, right? So everyone's trying to get out. So the typical rule is that let one person in, go through. It's just what you do. This lady, it was like being in a Dodgem cars. She refused to let anyone out. She was pushing up. But then, of course, there was a Rooster sticker on the back, wasn't there, Dan? She was clearly very agitated by the fact they got beaten. But to you, Mrs. Dodgem cars, no, it's no cool. Okay, hammer me.
The whole purpose of that was so you could tell the world that you are worthy of getting your own car spot.
No, it wasn't worthy of that.
It was. No, it was. I've reached a status of life where I have a name, my name on a car spot.
No, that's exactly what it was. No, Cole Monty, you would say that. No, it's not that. It's the fact that it was very, very rude. Very, very rude. Would you just take someone's spot?
Yes.
You would?
If I knew them.
So if somebody steals your spot, whether your name's on it, whether your ticket's on it, whatever, are you you're allowed to go and steal someone else's spot?
No, if I know you, if we're all in the group thing, it's every man for himself.
So you're not even telling me, mate, my spot was taken, so I've stolen yours, you steal someone else's?
No.
No, yeah, that's typical of you as well.
Okay, now, I've got two left. The first one you're all going to... The last one is going to offend a lot of people.
Oh, no.
But this one. Did you read Buzz's column on Sunday, the story of the bloke purporting to be the real Sam Burgess?
Ah, yep.
Right, and...
Fitness trainer or something, wasn't
he? Well, this bloke... What is it about personal trainers, the most narcissistic people we have in our society, right? Personal trainer, the douchebag to non-douchebag ratio, I think would be at its highest when it comes to personal trainers.
Yes.
Right? This bloke, firstly, just using Sam Burgess's situation, which is obviously quite distressing and disturbing, as a chance to promote his little business, and then going on about, well... A lot of people sliding into my DMs thinking I can see how Sam got into trouble. Piss off, mate. The bloke's got enough trouble. He doesn't need you pumping up your little pathetic business, okay, using him as a little launch pad. Piss off. I would say 80% of personal trainers are absolute dicks.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you. 20% are really good.
Yeah.
I had one. At Bondi, right, this is when I was actually particularly fat, and I thought, I'm in desperate trouble here, so I went...
For those who don't know the weight loss, how many kilos are you away from your absolute peak?
Oh, 40, but this was in the previous time. This is when I was about 20 away.
Right.
But, by the way, personal trainers, $80 for 45 minutes work. What for? So you can... Honestly, I lost all my weight without a personal trainer.
Mm.
They have a benefit, but, you know... $80 for 45 minutes. Why is it 45 minutes? Because they need the 15 minutes of special time at the end of the hour to count their money. Where was I going? Oh, no, the one I had. So he was great for a while, but then Larry Emder joined him up. So I just got complete. I then had to move all my times because he had to go and serve as Larry Emder.
Is that right? Yeah, you got brushed.
I got completely brushed. But then also I found out the great thing about the personal trainer, right, is you basically they're a sounding board. You just whinge about everyone because you think, oh, well, this is a little... He was telling people my secrets. So people in the industry I was bagging, all of a sudden I was discovering.
Yeah, no good. Here we go.
Now, we're all very sad that Winx lost its foal.
Oh, jeez.
We are. But a press release. It's a... horse. Okay. How many horses lose a foal? But this whole... mate, Winx, a press release is put out that Winx has lost its foal and it's distressed and it's... And I get all that it is distressed and, you know, animal or human, you know, you lose a baby. It's horrible. But then all these people, oh, we're feeling so much... We feel so... devastated for Winx. I'll say it again. It's a... horse. Okay, am I wrong? Please put the beeps in. But one more time, it's a f-ing horse. And now we're gonna... what are we gonna have, a minute silence at the Everest for Winx's foal? I mean, I'll tell you who I feel sorry for. Whoever paid the breeding fees, I feel sorry for that person. That person deserves a press release and a GoFundMe page. Please can I have my $200,000 back? But anyway, I couldn't... It's not like I was glad that Winx lost its foal, but the apps... Of all the problems we have in the world right now, right? Bloody Sean can't get out of Victoria. He's been stuck in Victoria for 6 months, right? People are seriously dying And I love animals. Right? I get more sad on the news for an animal cruelty story than I do for a murder. Right, I really do. I like the animal cruelty one's the one that'll touch me. I'm pro animal. I'm pro dog. I'm pro cat. I'm pro horse. But a press release, I mean, the height of these people, you've made so much money off this horse, but to think that you are worthy of putting out press releases and garnering the sympathy of the Australian public.
And Dan, at the end of the day, what is it? It's a horse.
It's a horse.
It's a horse. Okay, oh, hello.
Okay, here we go.
Hello, broadcast.
It's not the Winx. Oh, look at this.
I hope he's not an animal activist, Gordy, because you're in big trouble, Dan.
This is the house of Gordon Tallis. This is unbelievable. Gordon Tallis, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are we going?
Do you know you do so many crosses from that that room, you could start charging Fox or at least the taxman rent. I mean, honestly, it is your now. It is your place. That wallpaper should be being paid for by the Australian taxpayer.
It probably was at the time.
Mate, I love Gordy, but we haven't been together all year. We used to work Sundays together. The poor bastard can't come down to Sydney, so I miss working with you, mate.
Yeah, same here, Dan. It's sort of been a real unusual year, and believe it or not, I really enjoyed, like, at times jumping on the planes all the time. You get really tired, but, you know, you just find it strange not going and catching up with the mates and going to the game live. You just realise how much you miss the game.
Yeah.
Hey, Gordy, we need to know about this black card. Is it true, the Macca's card?
Yeah. It's not black. It's actually maroon. It is a Macca's gold card, believe it or not.
Wow.
Yes, I do have a McDonald's gold card, but it wasn't just sent to me. It was because I do a fair bit of work for Ronald McDonald House. Uh-huh. So we raise a bit of money. So it's not just here because you're Gordon Tallis. It's
right.
Pretty much working for the charity, and we've raised a hell of a lot of money for all those sick kids. So there is some lurks and perks that go on the side.
No.
Waistline.
And that's great, but it's for that reason, Gordy. But we were fascinated with the idea that the gold card exists. So can you just walk up to any McDonald's in Queensland or Australia and say, load me up?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, oh, look, there is a limit. I couldn't take 30 guys there, but it's strange because my two older boys, they're 15 and 16, and everybody's got a credit card these days. Everybody lives in debt. They're not impressed with the credit card and the limit. They're impressed with this Macca's card.
Yeah.
So Dad's got a Macca's gold card. So, yeah, but,
hey,
but it is good fun. And, yes, I do use it probably 3 or 4 times a week.
As you should. Hey, well, you don't look like it. You look fit, actually, brother.
No, I'm sitting 3 metres away from the camera here, Dan.
Yeah, you got good lighting. You've obviously got the light straight over your head pointing
down.
Yeah,
I got the window open. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Gordy, forever and ever you'll be a Clive Churchill medalist. I just think that is unbelievable. A, to grow up as a kid wanting to win a grand final, you do that. And then to be the best on
Steal
the field.
Tony Carroll.
Well, particularly when Tony Carroll was the best player in that game. But anyway.
Yeah, I know. Listen, I knew it was coming. Do you know what? I don't want to bag the people who select it because they were always the Australian selectors. But I thought when Brett Camorley won it, Tara Nicker was the best player. Andrew Johns won it. I thought Ben Kennedy was fantastic.
He was.
Brad McKay won it in a losing grand final. And I thought that Kevvy Walters was the best player on the park that day. Who won it when I think Royce Simmons, Bradley Clyde, when they should have given it to Royce Simmons?
Yeah. Or Greg Alexander, Brandy. Anyway,
Brandy,
yeah, but you're right. It is subjective. And Gordy was great that day. But we always have fun because Tony Carroll did some brilliant things. But
absolutely. Tony tells me every day too.
Where is the Clive Churchill Medal?
It's in one of the drawers.
Gordy,
I'm not big on hand. But you know, I did try the grand final rings on for the first time the other day because. I put on so much weight when I retired, I couldn't believe that you put weight on in your fingers. I've even gone up a shoe size.
Yeah.
That's how much weight I put on. I've gone up a shoe size. So I had to get the rings recut, and I think I'm at that age now where I think it's okay if you went to a grand final that you could wear a grand final ring. I thought it would have been a bit of rubbing it in your face early, but now I've been retired for 17 or 18 years. I think it's time to don them.
No, I think it's – firstly, I didn't know you had a grand final ring. I thought it was medals during the Gordy days. But you're right. When we go and do those outside broadcasts and Steve Jackson walks up and he's got a ring on or Jamie South, it's like I'm not comparing Anzac Day to the grand final. Everyone, Anzac Day is much more important. But it is like, you know, people brandish their Anzac medals on that day.
Yep.
I think they should do that every day, by the way. But I think you should be telling, you know, I think if you've served this country, you should be You know, it should be one of those things. But apparently, people get rolled, and you know, it actually becomes a dangerous exercise. But Gordy, I didn't know you had a ring. I thought they handed out medals in '98 and 2000.
I reckon in Super League we didn't get one, but the ARL probably started them in '97 because all those Newcastle boys got a ring, and in '98 was our first premiership when it come back together, and we got a ring. That year in 2000, so I've got a couple, and the Hall of Fame ring that's actually really nice as well. So that looks like an ice skating ring, the Hall of Fame ring. So they probably won't come on, but the grand final rings for sure.
Hey Gordy, I've gone through the Clive Churchill Medal winners, and pretty much all of them had played in a grand final before, and you'd played in that Super League grand final in 1997. Do you think it's a huge gift having been there before, and therefore should the punters be looking again to a player who has already played in a grand final?
Yeah, look, no doubt if you've been there before, you know how to, prepare. When I talk about my grand finals, I always say the first one I played in was '93 for the Dragons.
Mm.
And I remember Tina Turner there. I remember all the things that were happening around the game. Mm. I didn't really focus on the game. The other grand finals I ever played in, I could not tell you who was there, what was happening, who was the halftime entertainment, full-time entertainment. I don't know because I was so focused on the game. So you got to learn on the run. I think the first time they tell you to enjoy it, but I remember what I had for breakfast the first time.
Yeah.
You know, in the second and third one, when you're sitting there, you don't eat. And I just knew that the prize was, you know, doing a lap of honour, you know, doing that extra 400-metre walk.
Have you got a tip for a Clive Churchill medalist or a premiership winner for that matter, Gordy?
I think Penrith, they're just young and they're riding that wave. I reckon it'll be Viliami Kikau.
Yeah. Oh, you were looking at him. What were the odds?
Like Glenn Stewart, you know, not playing in the lead up to the grand final. He's had that week off, and Latrell Mitchell did a similar thing as well.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that later, aren't we? Our roughie.
But I've got a question for Gordy as we say farewell. And Gordy, thank you for joining us, by the way, Gordy.
Can we
sort him out? I know he's got an affiliation with another bookmaker.
He'll be sorted.
We can sort him out.
But
please, can you show us the Macca's card? Now, cover up your barcode or whatever it is, but can we actually want to see... What a Mac is.
Can I walk away from the screen for a second?
Of course you can. Of course. This is a podcast.
Okay, grab.
Okay. There he is. Gordon Tallis. One of the greats.
Is that his professional backdrop, is it?
It is. Every time he does the Matty John show.
Yeah.
And I think that's fresh wallpaper. I think it was a plain wall. And then all of a sudden, the wallpaper kept showing up. By the way.
Here he is.
You know.
That was quick.
There it is.
Oh, how good's that?
It's good to be the king.
Hey, Gordy, I'll tell you, you should have a card.
Really important too.
Yeah. Take the number away. Jesus, that's when people can start to rip you off.
Medicare.
I tell you, Gordy, who needs a gold card, it's yours truly. My car, when it sees those golden arches, puts the blinkers on itself. It's been there that many times.
But how good is it?
Oh, it's great.
You can't beat a McDonald's.
What's
breakfast.
Your go-to meal?
I'm a quarter pounder meal deal, large, with a Coke Zero because you need that balance.
Exactly. Exactly.
And if I'm really hungry, you get the nuggets with the sweet and sour sauce on the side.
Do you ever put the chips on the quarter pounder?
Sometimes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. How good. That's a go-to. And I've only just turned to eating the pickles. I always used to pull the pickles off.
Oh, the pickles are the best part.
Dan, come on, mate. I'm a little simple kid from town.
Do you know why the pickles are on there?
I bet it's to do with it. Otherwise, it'd be called confectionery if it wasn't.
Yeah, it needs to be a salad. You know, the Big Mac, you don't need it because it's got the lettuce and stuff on it.
Well, that's why the Big Mac.
Wow.
That's why the Big Mac has sesames on the bread. Otherwise, the bread would be considered confectionery.
There's so much sugar in it.
All right, Gordy, we love you, brother. I hope I get to see you before the end of the year.
Thanks, mate.
All right,
see you, boys.
See you, Gordy.
Dallas. You know, so I do this call goodbye, right? Mm. Which I'm going to retire, by the way, soon.
Are you going to retire?
I think it's been done. Gordy's the reason I did it.
Really?
Because I did it once and he got excited, so I did it again and he got really excited.
No, you can't quit on that.
Nah, it's a bit overkill. But anyway, I just wanted to say Gordy's the... Blame him for those that...
You're listening to the haters, Dan. Just keep... That's
no,
your
no, no,
thing.
I'm not getting haters. I'm just feeling it's... I'm probably doing it too much.
Yeah, you can be doing it too much.
Yes.
But don't put it away...
Oh, no, there's no hater saying don't do it.
No, but just keep it, just limit it. I can feel when you're going to do it, and I love it.
Yeah, all right. Sean.
He's saying goodbye to goodbye.
There he is, Sean. Hey, what a champion, Gordon Tallett. He didn't have to do that, Gordy. He's got a million things on, but how good's the Macca's gold? The Macca's gold car.
Mm. I loved his musings on. Yeah, I love his musings on what he orders from Macca's. That was quality.
We've all got our Macca's. We've all got. I mean, we're in the Gus Gould areas there.
Mm.
by the way, we've got to get to. Gus has addressed your concern. I don't know if we're going to do that here.
What, Pluralgate?
We're going to do it later. Pluralgate. Pluralgate. He has addressed it. And as expected, he's playing all you poor sods off a break. But we're going to start looking ahead at some footy. Are we taking a break first? We're going straight to the first game, is what Shane Gault, our producer, tells
Six
me.
To go play on, he says.
Melbourne versus Canberra. Ooh. Odds are very similar for both these games. This is at Suncorp Stadium. 39,000 is the capacity. Storm, $1.47. Canberra, $2.75. And the you see the money split down the middle. And Bill Simmons calls something the Vega zone when the start is in sort of the zone where clearly the bookies couldn't decide it.
Mm.
And I think we're in the Vega zone here, minus 6.0. To me, Sean, that says, we don't know, you tell us, the punter, because we see there, or the Storm, 79%. Isn't that interesting?
Mm.
So, Sean, so they're getting 49% of the head-to-head, but yet the start, where they're giving away six... Yes, at the better odds at $1.90, they're getting 4/5 of the money. That's a very interesting trend.
It is, and it's Flat Stanley's time to shine. finals footy. But we don't want to give away that half point. And I know you love that 6.5 number. We don't want to give it away. The other game is the exact same. It's a bit of a copy and paste prelim final. Not too sure, so we're going to give away a converted try. It's funny. We have seen though, and you know, some blowouts. Already in this final series, so I think that's what is on the punters' minds when you see that skew towards the minus, even though the head-to-head is split down the middle. Not surprising that the Raiders have seen a lot of support to win the game at that price, especially as well.
Your thoughts, Joel, on the odds? That would be about right to me. But it would suggest that punters aren't certain about Melbourne. Melbourne, 19 in a row in Queensland.
Mm.
They've lost one game at Suncorp in 9 years. Yet the fact they're only 2-1 on, essentially, $1.47, suggests that they're very wary of these Raiders.
Yeah, I'm heavily invested on the Melbourne Storm to win this comp, have been for months.
Mm.
I'm also very nervous. Yeah. But they're the better team. They are just, put simply, the better team. They're playing on the home soil, which has been the case for this year. Canberra, the form line is still a little bit sketchy. They beat Cronulla, and it was a bit of a battle.
Yep.
And they beat the Roosters. And look, the Roosters, we don't really know where they're at with their form. So I'm Camp Melbourne Storm, their forwards, Nelson, Asofa, Solomona, Tino, Cameron Smith, he's flying, Pappenhausen. The big key for me is multiple choice Munster. Every time he goes to the line, he's got three options, and every time he makes the right play. I was concerned about his injury. Did you see the footage? NRL Roast showed it during the week. Nico Hines versus Munster in their ping pong championship.
Yeah.
Cooper Johns was quite funny with the Rocky music, and he's holding up the pads, and it was very, very funny. If Munster's good to go, which I believe he is.
Are you saying because he's playing ping pong during the week, he must be good to go?
You've got to jump around on your knee. Look, he's clearly...
I like that theory.
Yeah, so I think he's good to go. And he's the key. And you know what else, too? I'm going to give you a roughie for the Clive Churchill shortly, but my actual pick might just be Cameron Munster.
Like, I'm on him.
He had a shocker last grand final. Remember they played the Roosters? He had a shocker. Munster, he won't do that again.
So you say he had a shocker and everyone thinks he had a shocker. I thought he was trying the hardest out of every Melbourne Storm player.
Agree with that.
They were blasted out of the 18-0, weren't they? They were down.
Yep.
And he was the one really trying things. He was stepping on blokes' heads. And he was doing silly things, but you could see why he was doing. He was trying to turn the momentum around.
Did you call his last game? Storm and who they play in the prelim? He just picked them apart. Everyone was talking up Pappenhausen, who had a blinder. But, mate, Munster was just out of this world.
Are you talking last week?
Their last game.
Against Parramatta?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
He was phenomenal.
Well, And that's why I think Queensland, whatever he's in that team, Queensland's got a chance.
Absolutely.
All right, so so you're very warm on Melbourne Storm.
Also warm on the unders, Dan.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Me too. Because if I'm just trying to bring this up now. That's why I'm
I've got it here.
Squirreling away. What have you got
the there? The last five games that they've played.
Thank you.
34, 28, 22, 40, 32. I know it's skewing higher this year with the final series, but these are two teams who know how to defend.
20 to 14, yep. 22, 6, 12, 10, 22, 18, 22, 10. So that confirms your point. But the thing that, and the other thing that stands out for me, how close all these games are. 20 to 14, Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 22, 6, Canberra. That was when we came back from resumption.
Yes.
That was the resumption from COVID. And that, I think I called that game, got away from Melbourne at the end. I think Canberra scored a couple late. They were clearly the dominant team, but I'm considering that a close game. 12-10, 22-18. That's why, to me, Canberra plus six, I think, presents a lot of value. Because I can see Melbourne hanging on here just with the class of Smith and Munster, that if it comes down to a big play, they might have all the answers, but geez, six points is a big start for this game.
Can I give you a tip in this game? Number 19, Paul Momorowski will be the centre. He will not go with Brinko Lee.
Mate, Brinko Lee could be in the Queensland team.
He will not go with Brinko Lee. Momorowski is the superior player,
okay.
And I'll be shocked. That's been their problem all year. Their one problem in the Melbourne Storm has been the right centre position.
Yep.
I'll be shocked if Brinko Lee is in that team ahead of Paul Momorowski. What do you think, Cole Warner?
Oh, he rested Brinko Lee 3 weeks ago. So I think if they were going to make that change, they would have done it a long time ago. And I mean, everyone knows I'm no Brinko fan, but I think Bellamy set it on this team. That's what he's going to go with. It's interesting you mentioned the Raiders' form line coming to this being somewhat weak, but looking through the last sort of five or six games that Storm have played as well, it's not your usual run into the final series or even early finals games that we've come to expect in recent years. It's the Storm's run-ins dabbled with average teams that they played. They got Parramatta in week one. In hindsight, that was an easy picking for them. So I'm not as confident on the Storm as you are, Shulgin. I look across these two teams, and people call me the Raider hater. I'm very seldom with them, but they match up so well against this Melbourne Storm team. Obviously, Storm have got the chocolates at number nine, but outside of that, it's very, very even. And if you look at Jack Whiten, once again, I'm not his biggest fan, but he's absolutely flying. Papali is by far and away the best forward in the world. His game last week was unbelievable. And I agree, Dan. I think 6 points is a lot of start. And I actually like the head-to-head as well. You touched on the total. It looks very big. I agree there as well.
Yeah.
I know it's new rules and the first six games have been high-scoring, but we haven't seen that in the regular season. And I think in a prelim do-or-die game, I think we're going to revert back to the safety-first mentality, and it should be low-scoring.
Yeah, whether doesn't favour that, but 27 on Friday in Brisbane and clear, but I'm with you as well. So Canberra and the under for me. Canberra with the start and the under for me. What about you, Joel Kane?
Storm to cover and the under.
I do have a theory for the prelim and the grand final that if a team breaks, it becomes a big margin.
They
so it becomes
hard.
it becomes a real celebration for the team winning and the team losing just completely goes to water. I just don't see that happen. I'd see it happening in the next game. I don't see it happening in this game. I'd see this one going the distance. So great game. But
great week, Dan, coming up, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a great week. Absolute great week.
All right. Let's take a break. We've got more topics to cover here. As we repeat, Winx, it's just a horse. Get him on side.
Sam O'Keefe in the sock slide. This is it. Come on, Slippery. On the runway. Slides. It's big. It's a new world record.
Somebody stop her. She'll slide out the stadium.
That make it look easy moment was brought to you by Sportsbet NRL Same Game Multi. Combine your favourite markets, like the Panthers to win, Inter Crichton and Tedesco to score, and you'll get bigger odds. If it's an NRL Same Game Multi, it's Sportsbet.
All right, those ads are very good.
Oh, outstanding.
We come up with, it's nothing to do with us, but whoever does those does a very good job.
Sportsbet win all these YouTube awards. And, yeah. Mate, they're very,
very
clever.
Because the thing is with those ads, right, you could watch them 100 times, and often you have to watch them 100 times because they're repeated over and over, and they're actually, they're very, the 100th time is not a punish.
Do you know who the brains behind all of it is?
Don't say Wally and Hammy. We'll never hear the bloody end of it.
Sean the Trader.
What?
Sean the Trader comes up with these ideas. Don't you, Miner?
What about Dan with the subtle wee? Wee there. That, I like that, Dan. We're, you know, there's no I in team, but it's good.
Well, hang on. How dare you? Is he really responsible?
Nah.
Well, no, he's happy to take credit for it, but I'm wee. Yeah. I'm doing the wee stuff, and he's happy to take credit for those award-winning ads.
Yeah.
They are good.
Now, we have to address something here on the Sportsbet Get 'Em Onside podcast, and we're calling it Plural Gate. Sean took the bait last week.
Yeah.
You were angry at Gus.
No. Orn. We're dropping the S's. It's Orn, not Sean.
Orn Ormerod.
Yeah, Orn Ormerod.
Okay, so Gus Gould has been doing this thing on Twitter where, for whatever reason, he's dropped the plural. Mm. So rabbit v. eel, panther v. raider. I don't know. It entertains him. And Sean took the bait and blew up last week, right? And what did I say? It's Gus just playing all you blokes, poor blokes, off a break.
Agitating, antagonising, he's just
having fun. He's just having fun.
Yep.
Well, Gus apparently on, 100% Footy on Channel 9. This is the best show that no one watches. And that is a compliment, I promise you, because it's sometimes on Jam, it's sometimes late at night. This is a great show.
I agree with that, and it's the time slot, isn't it?
No, 100%. They haven't worked it out, but it is a very... I always forget it's on, but every time I flick and it's on. Anyway, this is what Gus had to say.
And I've noticed on Gus's Twitter that a lot of S's have disappeared off teams' names, and I'm very curious about it.
Crept into his commentary now.
The rooster, the rabbit... We've lost the plural.
I've been asked the same questions by multiple people.
I'm getting bombarded these
days. To me, it's fascinating.
Is there a reason?
And just like he does on social media, you're going to get nothing in reply.
I hadn't noticed.
Look how he's just playing you poor buggers off a break. Yeah. He's too good. He's the best. Good. He's the best.
He's way too good.
Rabbit outplayed.
I'm so angry.
Why does it agitate you?
Well, I don't know. But I'm more angry than being angry at that I've just fallen into this trap and I haven't seen it. But I've had to. I said last week I've had to sack him on Twitter because it just infuriates me. But now people are tagging me in Gus tweets and even Channel 9 have started dropping the S as well, and I follow them, so I can't get away from it. But what about that smug? That smug look on his face at the end there. He's got one of the smuggest faces. He's brilliant.
Too good.
He's got me hook, line, and sinker.
Get him on site's very own.
Yeah, Sportsbet have sponsored a concept called Million Dollar Fish, I think it's called.
Yeah.
And I there's a fish out there worth $1 million, I think. And you're the Million Dollar Fish. He's caught you, Shawnee. He's just got you on the bait. He's wound you in.
Is he doing that in commentary? No, is he actually doing it in commentary?
Rabbit, I don't know.
That would genuinely piss people off if he's doing that's ballsy if he's doing it in commentary as well. But anyway, well played, Gus. I think one of the best markets you've got up, Joel and Sean, of all the exotics, and I think it's the early Churchill market. Now, I was lucky enough or smart enough, whatever you want, of starting to squirrel away bets early. So I've got Whiten at $34. I've got Munster at $13. I've got Coruscant at $17. Right, so it's one of those things you got to try and pick if the team's going to make it. But you know, little bit bets during the last few weeks. But I'm still seeing, even with only four teams left, geez, there's a lot of value out there for people if they think their team can get into the grand final.
Well, this is the time to strike, Cole Miner, isn't it? If you think your team can be there, this is the time to get the price. Is there a roughie that you found, a jewel in the rough, so to speak, Cole Miner?
Yeah, I like the look of Kikau. We had Gordy on earlier, and he likes it as well. $41 for Kikau seems huge. I'm not sure it's the fact that he's not playing this week. He might have been, you know, he's at the back of people's minds. But they're $1.47, obviously, this week to beat South. That suggests he's going to be around $26, $27 should they win. And he's by far, he's not going to be anywhere near that.
Nah.
I think he'll be close to the mid-teams. When you look through that side, there's some clear standouts. He's one of them. He ticks all the boxes to win a medal. He does the things that stand out, and he can score a try as well. So if they get through this week with their short odds on to do, he's not going to be as big as what this price suggests. So I'd get on now, particularly if you like Penrith, obviously.
Well, see, so Nathan Clear is the favourite at $5. I wouldn't touch that.
No way.
At $5, you need so many things to go right
for. No way.
Cam Smith at 8, Munster at 9, Coruscant 15, White and 5th. This is the current market. White and Pappenhausen 15, Cody Walker 17. Ooh, funnily enough, I actually think, even though I'm not on it, I think that's good odds. Luai 23, Reynolds 26, George Williams 26, and the list goes on. You've spotted something. You were first onto this. I am with you all the way on your roughy.
Yeah, I think if the Rabbitohs win this, or Rabbit wins this, right, I just think this bloke has to win it. Like Cody Walker needs to play well. I don't know if a grand final is the type of game where Cody Walker goes berserk. I may be wrong. But this bloke here, and you do see a trend as well, that it does skew towards representative players and, yes, and incumbent Australian players and those types of things.
Good observation you made there. I hadn't thought of that, but you are right.
Yeah, or players who are on their way to being selected in one of those teams. You know, Damien Cook, honestly, if South win this game...
I agree with this.
He'd just about be their shortest price, wouldn't they, Sean? If they made the grand final, is he their shortest price next week?
He's probably level pegging with the likes of Walker, even Reynolds, even though he's obviously the halfback and makes a lot of the calls in that game. I don't think he really stands out as what would be a Churchill medal either. So you quickly run out of people that can really win it. And Cook, once again, he ticks all the boxes for a medal winner.
Well, I think South have the fewest eligible Churchill winners. When you look at their team, I pick five players that could win it.
Let's go through them.
Right. So Walker, obviously.
Yep.
Reynolds. Mm-hmm. Cook.
That's it for me. I've only got three.
Right. Okay. But then you think of, okay, Cam Murray might have a blinder.
Right.
Okay. You could see that.
Okay.
And who was my other one? Oh, Tom Burgess could go berserk. I don't think this would happen, but if a front rower is a clear standout, they're a big chance in a Churchill.
Mm.
But we've seen in the past, Sam Moa, I think, was robbed of a Churchill because he only played 46 minutes. The Australian selectors like someone on the field the whole time.
Mm.
So I'd be loath to go Tom Burgess. You know, I was on George Burgess the year Sam won it.
George
was frigging robbed because Sam played with a broken cheekbone. Oh, so courageous.
take the cheekbone out of it. It may go to George, might it?
No. Sam was amazing. But yeah, you're right. But yes. But I was on Brent Kite. I always like a front rower in a big game.
You backed him.
And I didn't realise, TAB, mate, $26, how cheap, you bastards. Because
you lose when you win.
I didn't realise Brent Kite had never been man of the match in any game.
Wow.
But I always thought the Churchill was reward for a great final
had
series.
Had he never, ever got
never
three Dalian points?
Wow. Never been man of the match. And that's why Damien Cook represents, I think, great value. Because he's the player of the finals, in my mind, so far, for the first 2 weeks. So... You know, I think that's at the forefront of people's minds. Oh, how good's he playing?
Who's your roughie?
Well, I would go Cook as well, but James Fisher-Harris, for me, is the sort of player that could absolutely destroy an opposition forward pack. Like Fisher-Harris is running 160, 170 metres a game.
Yep.
I could see him doing... I could see a grand final not phasing him. In fact, I think he's got the right level of white line fever.
Yeah.
So I could see him going berserk and just completely obliterating a team on his own.
Yeah.
So 60, look, it is rare for a front row to win it, but 61, I'll be having a little something on that.
Yeah, I could make a case to back all those three boys. I think we found a couple there or a few there. Let's see.
All right, let's get to Saturday night's game. ANZ Stadium, a pro-South crowd, apparently. That's the price Penrith pays for being generous. They could have played this at Bankwest. Can you imagine if we had 15,000 for a preliminary final? Fair.
But, Dan, you've got to win the grand final at ANZ Stadium. So I think it's smart to go there.
Oh, I applaud them for taking it there. You see, Sean, head-to-head, I'm surprised there's that much money on South. 40% of the head-to-head money is on South. So obviously there's a few nerves around Penrith. And then we look at the head-to-head. Again, we're in that sort of no-man's land of -6. So they're waiting. Sean, you're waiting for the punters to decide there. And again, 60% of the money is on Penrith. So what do you read into that very even trend of betting there, Sean?
Yeah, I'm actually a little bit surprised that South haven't seen more of the money at this at this early stage. You know, they're the hot team of the comp. At least that's what they're perceived to be. And obviously, kickouts out. That's the big story for the game for me. So I think they'll probably continue to get back to a lot of support as we get closer to the kickoff.
Okay. Sounds like you're on cocaine or something.
Yeah.
No, sorry. Obviously, there's an internet issue and it was catching up. You know what surprised me here, Joel, was total match points. So it's, 43.5 for the first game, Melbourne-Canberra.
Mm.
This is 44.5.
Yeah.
This has points written all over it, doesn't it? South are not great defenders, but we know how dynamic they are in attack. And Penrith average about 27 points a game as well. So, to me, this has big score written all over it.
I think everyone's thinking that. You go through the history of these two teams, though, it is also going to skew under. So, this is huge. I love this match. One thing I will say, I had some stats I looked at during the week, and I'll share them on the show on the Fox during the week, but they skew so hard to the left, Penrith. They skew so hard. And go through the last month, how many times Kikau is involved in either the lead-up or the try. He's a big out. He's a massive out. Stephen Crichton scores, right? We know he scores in this game.
That was going to be my best bet, but I thought, now that's too predictable.
Well, he scores two or more, maybe, if they go on and win the match big time. Cameron Murray's the cheeky chance. Where they let the tries in Penrith is through the middle of the field.
Okay.
And he's a backup merchant. He scored 3 weeks in a row, you know, that Cameron Murray.
Has he?
Yeah. Yeah, so he's a little, and he plays big minutes, so he's a cheeky chance for your try scorer markets. I do like the Panthers, but as I said, any team can win this weekend. It would not surprise me.
$5 any time try scorer Cam Murray. To me, I was saying there are certain games in prelims and grand finals, once a team breaks, I wouldn't be shocked if South won at all. But, Sean, I can see Penrith, if they just sneak it 65 minutes in, I can see them going berserk and having a real celebration and winning by 14, 18 points if they establish, you know, a handy lead three quarters of the way into the game. All right.
And it's always the worry with these knockout type games when it's do or die. If a team does get away, they can pile on points.
Just on
Penrith
Panthers
and the over for me, yes, Joel.
Panthers and the under for me. Panthers tries from kicks, 15 on the left, 2 on the right. They just skew so hard to the left, which means where does Campbell Graham sort of jumps all over the place? Campbell Graham has got to play right centre. He's the big, tall body who could possibly negate that jump from Crichton. He has to be right centre,
well,
doesn't he?
He does play right centre,
yeah, but
he
jumps around sometimes on the left, but he must be playing right in this game.
Okay, this game to me is decided. We know, I think Penrith, who scored 27 points a game, and South's 18 points conceded defence, it's one of the, I wouldn't say weaker, but it's not a real strength. So Penrith are going to get their points. The question is this, isn't it? Penrith's number one defence, 12.7 points a game against South Sydney's white-hot attack, which is the greatest attack in South Sydney history.
Is that right?
Think about that. 27.5 points, their previous best, 1954. 26.3 per game.
Wow.
144 points last three games, 84 points in the finals. So is that a fair assessment? This game comes down to Walker, Cook, Reynolds and co. versus the Penrith defence.
For 15 years, premierships have been won on defence. The West Tigers, they were the gunslingers, they were the shootouts. You'd have to. They didn't care if you scored 30 because they'd back themselves to score 34.
That was a high-scoring final series.
That's right.
This is a high-scoring
final
series.
That's right. So that maybe South Sydney come into play there.
Mm. Okay, so you've gone Penrith under, I've gone Penrith over. What about you, Sean?
Yeah, just on that total, I think the common denominator for me in all these games, the majority of these games so far in the final series, is how the underdog has jumped out to a really quick lead early in the game, and it's meant that the favourite and the team that's probably, you know, ultimately gone to win the game has had to change the way they would probably like to play and has gone chasing points, and we've seen some big totals. So I think, and South have been very guilty of some slow starts previously, but I think if they can keep on top of Penrith early, I think the game will naturally turn into a bit of an arm wrestle. And I like South in this game, both head to head and the line, and also the under looks big to me.
South under, wow! I think you'd be on an island there, Sean, of picking South and the under that both things would come up. So there you go. That could be quite. That'd be about $5 something. That double there, South into the under. So Good luck to you there. All right. So that's, I don't know who you go with here because we've all got different tips, haven't we? But we seem to do better when we don't agree on things. That's it seems right. to work out better in the end. I don't. Oh, how did we go last week? I went perfect. I know I went perfect because I didn't have a cent on it. So Canberra in the under, what was it? Canberra in the under, South in the over. Didn't have a cent on it.
So what, just recapping the bracket, you need
Penrith, Melbourne.
And then Penrith. Penrith. Okay. Yeah. Well, there you
we'll
go.
We'll see. So South, by the way, made 18 errors last week against Parramatta, their season worst.
Mm.
Yet, look how many points they scored. All right. Well, you've seen our tips. Now let's get to our best bets. Joel, you go first with best bets for this week.
Best bets for the Melbourne Storm. I love this play where Cameron Smith goes to the line and he plays flat to either Tino or he plays flat to Nelson Asofa Solomona. I think Nelson scores, Dan. And when we say best bets, it's all about
value.
Price.
Value.
It's all about value, yeah. Value. So Nelson Asofa Solomona, anytime try
they
scoring.
Have scored a lot of those plunge over tries this year,
heaps.
Melbourne down the middle.
Yep.
And the genius of Smith holding it up, and
bang.
Then firing it off. Okay, I like. So what's your best bet? It is Tino or
Nelson, really. Nelson, anytime try scorer.
Okay. Sean Ormerod.
Yeah, it's hard to find a lot in the head-to-head or line in both games. I'm leaning both underdogs, but it's not too far away from the mark, I think. So what I am bullish on is both the totals. I can't believe in two prelim finals, you could probably argue we're left with the four best teams standing, certainly on form at the moment. I don't think we're going to see two games like we have the first six. I'm happy to have that in a double, both unders for me.
Okay. Oh, geez. I don't like it when our best bets are different because I've gone also Storm Raiders under. We're all on the same page there. But I think the points will flow in the last 20 of Penrith and South one way or the other. I think South are going to concede 18 to 20 minimum. Now, can they overcome that? We'll see. But there we go. So something for everybody.
You know, we've got an Oztag team named after us. There's
copyright issues.
So hello to that team out there.
Well done, everyone. So hang on.
The get them on side.
They've just gone out.
Taggers.
They've just gone out on their own and printed up get them on side with the font and the proper logo. Well done.
The more the merrier. Get out there. It is touch football season and tag season. More get them on side teams.
100%.
Yeah.
What do you mean? It's an odd thing to do to have a betting podcast as your sort of faux sponsor.
Hey, you can do anything you
it's
like in this world.
I'm pro that, but it's just, very well done. Well done.
Yeah.
We can't give you a Macca's gold card, but well done.
Well done.
That's it. We're just about done. Sean Ormerod, thank you very much.
Thanks, boys.
And well played by the Ormerod family cushion once again.
Boys,
just,
before we go.
Solid performance.
Have you got an Everest tip or a Caulfield Cup tip?
Oh, yes. Now, I reached out to our favourite Irish sports bet trader.
Yep.
Apologies, Dodd, if you're listening. But EMAC, the mad Irishman, he's come to me with Classic Legend, $4.40. Said it's third up, ready to explode. This preparation, it won really impressively first up and then was pretty stiff in its second. It's ready to explode in this one. And he said it maps really well. Drew barrier six at that fast last night when whoever hit the red button without falling off the side of the tower. But, it's ready to go. $4.40. Get on.
And, Dan, for our listeners, may Buckhurst get the job done.
Yes, we're on Buckhurst. Although I haven't seen the Everest field. I know I watched that thing last night, but I'll take Red Zell because it always wins.
That'll do me.
It's Red Zell.
No, Red Zell's not in.
Didn't it win like two in a row?
Yeah, won the first two, Dan. Come on, G-Tra. I'm on G-Tra. Anyway, enjoy your week, folks. And most importantly,
yes,
game responsibly.